Chapter 6. Marius meets his neighbours. Months went by, and Marius had only one thought: to see that beautiful face again. He looked everywhere, but it was hopeless. One dark winter's evening, Marius was walking home sadly to his room. It was in a poor part of Paris, in a large, dirty building. Many of the rooms in this miserable building were empty, but Marius knew that a very poor family lived in the room next to his. The father, mother, and two daughters shared one cold, dirty room. A few weeks before, after hearing from the cleaner that they could not pay their rent, Marius secretly paid it for them. He knew that their name was Jondrette, but he knew nothing else about them. As Marius got near his building, two girls turned the corner and ran into him without stopping. As they hurried away, he noticed their shoeless feet and the holes in their clothes. "Are they running from the police?" Marius thought. Then he saw a thick grey envelope on the ground. "Maybe those girls dropped it," he thought. "If there's an address inside, I can give it back to them." So he took the envelope up to his room and opened it. Inside, there were four letters. Each letter was addressed to a different person and signed with a different name. But the writing was the same, and all the letters asked for money. Marius could not understand it. Early the next morning, there was a knock at his door. A girl of about 16 stood there. She had no shoes, her hair was dirty, and there were holes in her skirt.
"Here's a letter for you, Monsieur Marius," she said.
He was surprised that she knew his name, because he did not know her. He opened the letter and read it.
"Dear neighbour, I learned that you kindly paid my rent a few weeks ago. Thank you, young man. We haven't eaten for 2 days, and my wife is sick. Can I hope that you'll be kind to us again? My daughter can tell you how hungry we are, and she'll wait for your answer. Jondrette."
It was the same writing as the other four letters. Suddenly, Marius understood. The girls that ran into him yesterday were his neighbour's two daughters. "Jondrette writes letters asking people for money and gets his daughters to deliver them," thought Marius. He went to get the envelope and handed it to the girl. "I found this on the street yesterday," he said.
"Oh, thank you. We looked everywhere but couldn't find it," she said. "If we don't deliver the letters, Father is angry with us. But the kind old man will be at Saint-Jacques Church now, so I can go and give him his letter."
"Wait, take this," said Marius, giving her a silver coin. It was his last 5 francs, but he felt sorry for the poor girl.
"You're a true friend,"
she cried, and was gone. Since leaving his grandfather's house, Marius knew what it was like to be poor. But this girl's life was totally different. It was real misery. How terrible to see children with no shoes on their feet and with nothing to eat. Marius was angry with himself for not caring more about his neighbours before. He often heard their voices through the wall, but he never usually thought about them. Later that morning, he was looking at the wall between him and his neighbours when he noticed a hole near the top. He climbed on a chair and looked through the hole into a dark and dirty room with little furniture and one window. Jondrette was by the fire, and his wife and youngest daughter were lying on the beds. Suddenly, the door flew open and the eldest daughter ran in.
"He's coming! The kind man from the church is coming!" she cried.
"Wife, put out the fire!" shouted Jondrette.
But his wife did not seem to hear him, so Jondrette threw some water on the fire. Then he put his foot through the seat of the only chair.
"Get up and break the window!" he shouted at his youngest daughter.
She did what he said, and when the glass cut her hand, she began to cry. Through the broken window, snow was falling.
"It all looks good,"
Jondrette said, looking around the miserable room.
"Now we're ready for him."
At that moment, there was a knock at the door. Jondrette hurried to open it.
"Come in, monsieur," he cried. "And the young lady, too."
Marius could not believe his eyes. His angel was there, as beautiful as ever.
"We've brought you some clothes," said her father, giving Jondrette a bag.
As Jondrette turned to give the bag to his eldest daughter, Marius could see how angry he was. He wanted money, not clothes.
"Thank you, monsieur," said Jondrette, turning back to the old man. "You see how poor we are. We have nothing. No money, no food, no fire. It's so cold, but even the window is broken. Our only chair is broken. My wife is sick in bed. My daughter cut her hand in a machine at work, and she might lose her arm. And I must pay a year's rent tomorrow, 60 francs. If I don't, we'll be out on the streets."
Marius knew that this was a lie. "I paid their rent myself," he thought.
"Monsieur, I have only 5 francs here," replied the old man. "But I'll bring you 60 francs at 6 o'clock this evening."
A moment later, the man and his daughter were gone. Marius's only thought was to follow his beautiful angel. He did not want to lose her again. He hurried down the stairs and out to the street, but it was too late. He could not see them anywhere. He went back upstairs to his room, feeling miserable. Jondrette's eldest daughter was waiting outside his door.
"What do you want?"
he asked her angrily.
"What's the matter, Monsieur Marius?"
she replied.
"You were kind to me this morning."
"Nothing," he said.
Then an idea came to him. "An old man and his daughter just came to visit you, didn't they? Can you give me their address?" She looked at him hard.
"I don't have the beautiful young lady's address, but I can find it for you. And what will you give me?"
"Anything that you want," replied Marius.